93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Tay and Jay Show. Lantage, Jeremy Warner. Don't forget Cardinals Marlins tonight. Live from St. Louis, loud and clear right here. 6:20 is the pregame. 7:05 is the first pitch on the new home of the St. Louis Cardinals. 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Pregame, postgame, Mike Claiborne. One of our buddies is going to come on with us tomorrow at 3:30 to chat a little St. Louis and talk a little bit about the David Freese situation with Freese getting hurt, getting beaned by Scott Linebrecht. I don't know.
It's just luck with him. Bad
it
luck.
It really is. It's unfortunate because when David Freese is in that lineup, he produces. But now this is the second year in a row. Of course, he had the ankle problem. He's had a little bit of an issue off the field as well with the drinking and driving, et cetera. So he's had some issues, and I think the Cardinals are staying with him throughout because I do believe when he's on the field, he produces.
Right. I mean, he had 36 RBI last year in how many games?
Not very many.
And now he's at 14 through 20 through a month here. I mean, he's hitting well. He hits for maybe not the highest power,
right,
but you know you're going to get average. You know you're going to get RBIs because he hits some extra base hits. It's just bad luck with this rash of injuries. And now you bring up Alan Craig, who's got the bat.
Yeah.
He has the bat, but does he have the defense you need? You wonder if you go down to AAA, bring up Matt Carpenter.
That's our boy.
Who had a great spring, started off the AAA experience not too well, then wasn't doing too well, but has really turned it on as of late. Would you rather bring up him?
Right.
He can still hit the ball, kind of like David Freese. Not going to hit for a lot of power, but he can still hit the ball, but gives you a better glove. They're bringing up Alan Craig, maybe, you know, right off an injury, and you're counting on him to do well. I wonder if you go with someone else. Who would you go with if you're a Cardinals fan? 359 call, 217-359-2255.
And I know you have to juggle this stuff because, you know, you can't just bring a guy up and send him back down because eventually you run out of options for a guy, and then you have to, you know, make him free for everybody in baseball or keep him with the big league club. But I think what La Russa likes to do, he likes to bring up guys that he know he can play. I mean, Craig can play one of the corner outfield spots. He can spot catch. He was doing that a little bit in spring training. And he can play a little bit of third, whereas I think Matt Carpenter is mainly just a third baseman.
Right.
But I honestly don't doubt Tony La Russa. I mean, I know that guy puts a lot more effort in it than I do in terms of figuring this out. But I would like to see him just bring Carpenter up and know that Freese is going to be down for 15 days. Bring Carpenter up and give him a shot and just tell him, you're our third baseman for the next however many games we've got. Go see what you can do.
And the reason I bring up the defense is because Ryan Terry over at shortstop, seven errors already. I mean, seven errors is, I think, the third most in the league for a shortstop. And he's doing well with the bat. He's hitting 300, getting on base about 360, I think, is on base percentage. So he's getting on base for you, but the errors are kind of hurting you. And you knew that when you got him. That's why you did this huge change from Brendan Ryan to Ryan Terrio. But do you need someone over at the hot corner who's going to help him out a little more? So do you see Daniel Descalso over there maybe more than Alan Craig?
Yep. Well, yes, I do, because I think Descalso has proven that he can play third base and make the plays. In fact, he's made a couple of nice plays. It's funny, growing up, my dad always, when he taught me stuff about sports, one thing that he was big on was you got to be strong up the middle to win. And the Cardinals were always strong up the middle when they had Tommy Herr and Ozzie Smith. And, you know, you had center fielders that were always good. And now you've got, you know, of course, Jim Edmonds was up there. Now you got Colby Rasmus. And you look at this and you think to yourself, are you playing with fire with Terrio? But I heard La Russa, and I give La Russa kudos for this. Every Sunday he goes on KMOX and faces his fans.
Yeah.
And a lot of managers don't do that. And they asked him.
It's very surprising that it's La Russa, too,
right?
Because we've seen him up close with the media and what he acts like.
Exactly. And it is a little surprising. But he did say at the time, hey, you know what? If Terrio just makes the normal plays and can hit like he is at the top of that order, that's what we got him here for.
Well, and I agree with him because I value a bat over a fielding. Because most guys are going to be able to make the simple plays.
Right.
It's just those when you go for the reach. I mean, Brendan Ryan can make those unbelievable plays. I think Ryan Terrio's fine, but that third base you think about a little bit, maybe more just because of Terrio's struggles.
Understood. Now, we started the show talking football. We switched just a little bit to baseball, but we're going to go back to football. Scott Wright, Draft Countdown .com is joining us now. And Scott, I guess, have you been able to just at least sit down and take a break at all?
A little bit. That's coming up. I'm going to hit the golf course tomorrow and get a little refresher. But, I've been living and breathing draft here for quite a while.
Has there anything jumped out at you from round one that you just said, wow?
Well, I think the two quarterback picks going there in the top dozen with Jake Locker going number 8 overall and even chosen ahead of Blaine Gabbert. I think that was a shocker, although I think it was a good pick ultimately. I like the pick. And then Christian Ponder going number 12 to the Minnesota Vikings. He was, at best, everyone thought a late first, maybe, and probably more of an early second rounder. And leading up to the draft, I often got asked in interviews, who's going to be this year's Tyson Alualu? Well, this year it's Christian Ponder. But that's another pick I don't necessarily disagree with, because one of my mottos is it's impossible to overpay for a good quarterback.
And I think that's what this draft was with that top 12. That was kind of the story of the draft. It was all these quarterbacks. But it was an odd weekend with the lockout. It lifted and then put back on. What did you think of that, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, it's just such a mess, it seemed like to me. I mean, all these court battles, they just need to realize, you know, put things in perspective and say, hey, we're millionaires fighting billionaires. Everyone's making money. Let's not kill the goose that's laying the golden eggs here. And I think the pressure is going to start to get ramped up now that the NFL draft is over and there's no football scheduled in terms of mini camps, training camps, the season. Right now, everything is an unknown. And the guys I really feel bad for are these prospects that went undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, first they have to deal with the kick in the teeth that is going undrafted. And now they have to be in limbo until this collective bargaining agreement is reached, not knowing if or where they're going to get an opportunity to continue playing football. So hopefully this is resolved sooner rather than later.
Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com joining us right now, recapping what happened over the weekend. Scott, I know we grade these things way too early, but who do you think had the best draft?
Well, and I'm always, it's always tough for me too, because I always say it's kind of like 5-year-old soccer. Everybody wins in my eyes because, you know, I spent so much time watching these guys. It's just different levels of good. I can find something good in every draft. One that really stands out to me is the Houston Texans. Just because I think they address needs with really talented players. And I was a little leery after their first pick with J.J. Watt, the defensive end from Wisconsin, at number 11 overall. And he's a terrific player. He's a perfect fit for that scheme. It was a good value there. I just thought, boy, they got such a huge glaring need at outside linebacker, at cornerback. While in the second round, they addressed both of them with excellent players. They got the pass rusher they needed in Brooks Reed out of Arizona. Then they got a cornerback in Brandon Harris from Miami, who I thought was a late first-round value. So I think the Houston Texans' first three picks were as good as anybody's in this draft. And so I loved what they did. I also loved what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did. They got their safe defensive end in round one with Adrian Claiborne, and then they came back and they took a chance on Daquan Bowers and his knee in round two. And if Daquan Bowers is healthy, that's going to be the steal of the draft. I love the guy they got in round three, Mason Foster. He's going to be plugged in as a starting linebacker right away. Luke Stocker, the tight end from Tennessee, is going to be a good backup complement to Kellen Winslow. I like him taking a chance on Ahmad Black, the safety from Florida, who's not real big, he's not real fast, but he's just a good football player. And one other team I'd probably mention would be the New Orleans Saints. I think Cameron Jordan, the defensive end from Cal, might have been the steal of the draft there in the first round, or the first round at least. I like Mark Ingram as the running back from Alabama, although I don't like the price they paid for him. I just wonder if they could have gotten a similar running back who would have given them pretty much the same type of production in the second round without giving out a future number one. But, I mean, those are going to be two instant impact players for the Saints. But, I mean, I could go on and on. I could list probably 32 teams of drafts that I liked.
Well, Scott Wright, DraftCountdown.com. One thing that we're focusing in on, of course, is the Illini players. And one guy that we think is falling into a good spot is Mykal LaShore there in Detroit. What'd you think of, A, the Lions draft, which I thought was pretty solid, and also them getting LaShore to match with Best there?
Yeah, the Lions did a really good job, and especially those first three picks. I mean, starting off with Nick Fairley, the defensive end from Auburn, who would have been a top 5 overall pick if not for concerns about his maturity and work ethic. But I don't think those are going to be issues in Detroit, because guys like Ndamukong Suh and Kyle Vanaposh aren't going to let them be issues. They're going to make sure he does the right things on and off the field and in practice, and they're not going to let him be a knucklehead. So if there's ever a place where Nick Fairley is going to fulfill his potential, it's Detroit. And, boy, that's a fearsome duo between him and Ndamukong Suh there in the middle of that D-line. Titus Young, a wide receiver from Boise State, who they chose in the second round, I think he's going to give them a little bit more of a vertical dimension of that offense. They're going to put him in the slot, so I like that pick. And then Mykal LaShore from Illinois, perfect complement to Jahvid Best. It's going to be a thunder and lightning approach. Although my one criticism of that is that if you just drafted a running back in the first round last year, you shouldn't have to come back and take one in the second round this
year. Good point.
If you're going to invest such a premium resource in a position where, I mean, let's be honest, oftentimes they're dime a dozen. Unless you're getting a Barry Sanders or Adrian Peterson, you can get productive running backs in the second, third, fourth round. You look at the Houston Texans, Arian Foster was an undrafted free agent. Now the Lions have invested first and second round picks in back-to-back years in the running back position. But I guess at this point we can throw out the cost of what they paid for them. It's just a matter of whether they're going to get production. And I think they're going to have a dynamic running game with that combo.
Scott, I was looking on your site, draftcountdown.com, and I noticed your values and reaches that you put up there today. One of those is Martez Wilson, outside linebacker at Illinois, who you were talking about, the Saints. Saints got him in the third round at pick 72 overall. You really like that pick, huh?
I do. I think he could have very easily gone a round earlier, if not more, and nobody would have batted an eye. And super talented. I mean, you look at his numbers, and on paper, he looks like a top 10 pick on paper. 6'3 and 3 quarters, 250, ran a 4.4. Now, I don't know that he plays as fast and athletic as those workout numbers might lead you to believe. I think he's a little bit straight line-ish. I think he's got some issues in coverage. And I kind of thought his best fit might come as an outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme. But he's going to go into New Orleans there, and I think he's going to compete for a starting job outside from day one. So that's a real talented player to get in round three.
And Scott, when I looked at this draft, I thought one great pick, I know he had issues going into the draft, was Ryan Mallett going to New England, has some years to develop behind who better than Tom Brady and with Bill Belichick there. What did you think about him slipping all the way down to the third round and then New England taking him of all teams?
Well, I'm not surprised that Mallett fell as far as he did, and I certainly haven't had my first round of my mock for quite some time. The writing was on the wall there that Ryan Mallett was gonna slip in this draft. I don't know if I thought he was gonna slip that far, but I think that was a great pick for the Patriots. Not only was I think a good value in there in round three, but if nothing else, you just look at it, it's an upgrade for their backup quarterback spot behind Tom Brady, which they needed to do. So that's a great pick right there. But I think Belichick kind of looked at this as an investment. I think he saw all these teams taking quarterbacks early and how desperate teams were for quarterbacks and saw an opportunity. I think he's going to take Ryan Mallett. He's going to keep him on the straight and narrow for 2 or 3 years, make sure he does the right things off the field to alleviate the concerns others might have about the character. Maybe let him have a couple of good preseasons, feature him in some of those games, and then turn around and turn him into maybe a first-round pick a couple, 3 years down the line. That would not shock me at all. You watch. That's what's going to happen.
Scott Wright, draftcountdown.com. He actually gets to go out and golf tomorrow and clear his head. He's been doing a lot of work leading up to the draft and during the draft and, of course, right after. So, Scott, we know you're busy. Enjoy yourself tomorrow, and thanks for coming on with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
Thanks, all right. Scott. That is Scott Wright from DraftCountdown.com. I'm laughing, though, because he's a Minnesota kid, right? Can you really golf in Minnesota right now? Isn't it colder up there? Maybe they're not getting the rain
Come on. Yeah, I mean, that's not the problem around here. I'll golf in 40 degrees, but as long as it's not windy and raining, I'm fine with that. But, yeah, Scott finally gets to catch up on some sleep now.
Good for
him.
How
about that?
Hey, Corey Legit, we've got some audio with Corey, and we'll come back and do that here in the next, before this hour wraps up. If not, we'll get to it at 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Latte, Jeremy Warner. It is the Tay and Jay Show on 93.5 Connect FM and 95.3. Of course, we are talking and recapping, wrapping up the NFL draft, which was this weekend. Of course, first round Thursday, second round Friday, rounds through what? Through 7 or 70 or something like that.
You weren't glued to your TV on Saturday watching rounds 4 through 7?
I was watching 11-year-olds play baseball.
That's the most exciting time. Then when 10 years later you see Tom Brady, you can say, I remember sitting on my couch when that happened.
Having a Bud Light, eating some Doritos. Well, I know who was paying close attention to the Chicago Bears draft, and that is Michael Wright from ESPNChicago.com. Michael, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well. What'd you think of the what do you think of the Bears? I mean, I love Kareemy. I love that kid.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I kind of looked at it as, I don't know, I think the Bears came out of the gate running pretty hard, and then somewhere down the line I thought they called it Charlie Horse those last couple of rounds. I mean, you know, I was fine with Karimi and Paya, but then those last three picks, I was kind of scratching my head.
Yeah, I was too, Michael. I'm a Bears fan, and I thought those first two picks filled exactly what they needed, and it was great value. I actually liked seeing them trade up, even though they didn't have a lot of picks to get Paya, because he seems to fit the system. But Christopher Connie in that third round, a free safety, what is it with Jerry Angelo? He seems like he's drafting a free safety every year.
Well, I'll tell you, Chris Harris, he brought up a good point to me a couple of weeks ago. We were actually talking on Twitter, and he's like, Mike, go back and look and see how many safeties the Bears have drafted since 2003, and that'll give you an idea of this team's value on the position or of the players. Because the prevailing thought with the Bears is that it's more about the system than the players playing in it. So they kind of feel like they can just plug anybody in. And then when you look at a guy like Conte, you're like, oh, maybe Chris is right about what they're saying. Chris Conte is a guy who played 1 year of safety in college. He played 3 years of corner prior to that. So you're kind of like, what are they doing here? But I will say you got to give the Bears credit for kind of trusting their scouting process and not worrying about what everybody else is thinking. You know, guys like me, they're not worried about that. They're trusting scouts and those evaluations, so you got to give them credit for that.
But the one reason I worry as a Bears fan, you talk about they find these safeties and they draft a lot of them. They haven't had success with a lot of them. Daniel Manning is a guy that just hasn't found a right spot. Kevin Payne, I know, is another guy that hasn't worked out. Craig Stelz, Todd Johnson. Wow, I'm surprised I remember all these names.
Alfalava, keep going.
But they trust that, huh?
Yeah, they trust the system more. Like I said, it's more about that system, that Tampa 2 system, than it is about the players playing in it. You know, when you just brought up Daniel Manning, he was a guy who kind of hadn't been able to find his way. But this past year, he had his best year as a pro. Okay. And, you know, he's a free agent now. And, you know, he's a restricted free agent. He's kind of caught in the middle of that, you know, that rule, the 5 and 6 year, or yeah, the 4 and 5 years, I'm sorry. And he's finally coming into his own, but the thing is that the Bears are kind of like, well, yeah, you played great last year, but you didn't take the money we offered you, so, you know, you're free to go, basically.
Hmm.
And, again, it's just a case of them, you know, them putting more emphasis on the system than the players in it. And to me, you know, I'm one of those guys that believes in the whole it's about Jimmys and Joes and not X's and O's.
Right.
So... It's an interesting situation, and I'm anxious to see how it's going to play out with these safeties.
Michael Wright from ESPNChicago.com joining us, breaking down the Bears draft. And, Michael, another pick that surprised me was Nathan Enderle, a quarterback out of Idaho. Surprised the Bears are going to spend another pick on a quarterback and another roster spot.
Well, the thing is, Jerry Angelo has said that the plan all along was to draft a quarterback and develop him. They've been saying that. They said they wanted to do that with Dan LeFever, and that didn't work out, though. You scratch your head with the Enderle pick. I mean, this is a guy who was 3-21 in his first 2 years. And, you know, he didn't do much better his last 2 years. He finished his career 16-33. You know, that you can't use that draft day cliche with him. You know, he's a winner. You can't say that. So, but, you know, they really like his upside. He's got a big arm, and he's definitely not afraid to throw it. I think he had like 62 touchdown passes and 53 interceptions, so he's not afraid to fling it out there.
Sounds like Jay Cutler.
Yeah, exactly. Jay Cutler light.
Well, it's one thing. The Bears did follow the script in terms of what they needed. They needed offensive linemen. They needed defensive tackles. They needed a cornerback. So I guess in that respect, Mike, it's a deal where at least they did kind of address those needs, correct?
They did. And you also have to give them credit for addressing those needs well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about a guy like Karimi. Karimi is exactly the type of lineman that Mike Tice loves. Big, nasty, physical guy. And he's projected by a lot of scouts to be a right tackle or maybe a guard in the NFL, but Mike Tice and Lovie Smith and those guys have said they want to try him out at left tackle because that's where he played 4 years at Wisconsin, and he played the position pretty well. I actually watched some tape of him right after they drafted him. I went back and looked at some stuff, and, man, that guy he's nasty. And there was a game against Adrian Claiborne. He pretty much handled him that whole game. I saw maybe one or two plays the whole game that Adrian made, and Adrian Claiborne was a first-round pick.
And, Mike, he sounds like a guy that you guys at a cover, the Bears, are going to love.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that at the NFL Combine. You know, you asked him about where he stood among the rest of the tackle class, and Gabe is like, I'm the best one. And he had no problem saying it. And it wasn't like it wasn't fake. I mean, he wasn't faking it. He was being sincere from the heart. I'm the best out there. And you can all you have to do is look at who I practice against every day, and J.J. Watt.
Hmm.
You look at the four guys that I played well against throughout the season. There were four guys he played against that were first-round picks this past year. So, you know, it's hard to argue the results.
Yeah, that's so true.
I think he's going to be a good fit.
Yeah, you think of Kerrigan from Purdue. You think of Haywood from Ohio State.
Brandon Graham from Michigan 2 years ago. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I guess that Gabe brings up a good point. Well, Mike Wright, what do you think of the rest of the NFL or the NFC Central? I mean, you've got Detroit on one hand that everybody thinks just had an outstanding draft, including getting Illini running back Mykel LaShore, trading up in the second round to get him. Then you've got the Minnesota Vikings, where I don't know where. I've got a personal friend that is a Vikings fan, and he said he was going to go tear up his house after they drafted
really?
Ponder early. He did not like that pick. So what do you think of the other teams in this division? Did they get better?
I think they did, and I don't have a problem at all with the Ponder pick.
Hmm.
You know, it's one of those things that if you like the guy, it doesn't matter where you take him,
sure.
As long as he's the guy that you like. You know, I don't care if he was rated as a fifth rounder by everybody else. If you liked him and you felt someone else was going to get him, grab him. I don't have a problem with it. And I actually think Christian Ponder is going to be a good pro.
Hmm.
But if you look around at the rest of the division, it's going to be nasty this year. I think Detroit is not the same Detroit Lions that everybody kept talking about. You know, over the years, you pairing Ndamukong Suh and Nick Fairley.
Wow.
Inside, that is a nasty combination. And then you're talking about. Okay, the Bears went and drafted Gabe Kareemi. That's one guy. One guy does not fix that offensive line, I'm sorry.
Right.
So I think that, you know, Detroit, they definitely got better. I think Minnesota got better. And Green Bay, I mean, they're the defending Super Bowl champs. Really, all they had to do was reload. They're fine.
T&J Show, Michael Wright from ESPNChicago.com joining us right now. So, Michael, I mean, they get some two players in the first two rounds that I think a lot of Bears fans liked. But that first round, what hung over that was the botched trade with the Baltimore Ravens. What's kind of the aftermath of that? Just kind of update us on what's going on there.
Well, there's nothing going on. Basically, Roger Goodell basically said, hey, Jerry, you know, you guys were in the wrong. You probably should give the Ravens draft pick compensation. And the Bears were like, no, we'll pass on that. And then that pretty much satisfied Roger Goodell. It's a non-issue now. But, you know, at the end of the day, as I've said before, best case scenario, the Bears come off looking very incompetent. Worst case scenario, they look very deceitful. So really there's no way to win in this whole situation. I'm actually hearing a little bit more about what really went down. And I'm really not at liberty to talk about it right now because I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. But I hear it's actually worse than what's been reported.
So
stay tuned.
So maybe more towards the deceitful side than the incompetent?
Yes, more towards the incompetent part of it. And I hope it's not true. This is one of those things that, you know, you're doing the digging and the reporting, and you're hoping that you don't get the evidence that you think is out there.
Right.
So I kind of hope that this is just a story among the scouting community, because I've had a couple of scouts that have called me, scouts from other teams that have called me since the draft and told me what they think is the real story. But I don't want to go there until the reporting bears itself out.
Sure. So Michael Wright from ESPNChicago.com, keep up with him. I'm sure he'll have some stuff on this going forward. But, Michael, where do the Bears go from here? I know the lockout's hanging over this, but when free agency happens again, if it happens before the season, where do the Bears go from there?
I still think you have to add to that offensive line. You've got to get a veteran interior guy. I would say keep your eye out for a guy like Nick Cole out of Philadelphia.
Okay.
I just got a hunch that they may be interested in him. They also, I think, have to address receiver. I think you have to get a veteran guy in that can, you know, show these younger guys the ropes, because a lot of what happens in that system is based on the route and being where you need to be at the appropriate time. When Jay Cutler comes out of that drop, you've got to be in the right place and be expecting the ball. And too many times we saw the receivers not there. And, you know, a lot of, like, in Johnny Knox's case, a couple of times, you know, you're running a slant route. You have to cross that defender's face, because if you don't, it's an interception.
Right.
So we saw that.
A lot.
We saw that happen throughout the season.
So you're thinking receiver and lineman, they still probably could go get to better their cause.
I think so. And then, you know, when you look at this whole lockout situation, I don't think it affects the Bears as bad as some other teams, because this is a veteran team. They've been together for a while. That defense, I mean, how long have they been together? These guys know what they're doing. They can step off the bus and probably scheme Green Bay pretty quickly, like there's nothing to it. So I think them being a veteran team will help them throughout this lockout. But this is the thing to me, that offense. Last year was the first year they ran that offense. And typically when you see a team running a new offense, typically there's a huge jump between year one and year two. Well, this lockout jeopardizes that big jump to me.
Hmm. That's a good point, Michael Wright. I never thought of that, and that's something that we'll definitely keep an eye on as we go forward. Michael Wright, ESPNChicago.com, we appreciate your time, being able to kind of sum up the Bears. Sounds like you do like their draft, and we'll see as we get rolling here.
All right.
Hey,
thanks for having me, guys.
Not a problem, Michael. Thank you very much for joining us on the Tay and Jay Show.
Hey, man, it's always fun.
All right, that is Michael Wright, ESPNChicago.com. He does a great job kind of summing all that up. But when we come back, I want you to kind of break down a little bit about what did happen with that Bears-Ravens and what you know.
And Michael said some interesting things I want to react to. We'll be back. 359, call 217-359-2255. Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
The new Connect FM.